All right, let's go to Romans chapter 4. It's good to be back. We had a good service in Danville, and it's always good to be home. Now, after declaring that believers established the law through faith, according to God's promise, the Holy Spirit now shows us a glimpse of Abraham's faith. And so I've titled this, Faith Is. Faith Is. And there's seven things here that we see faith is. So I'm going to just speak briefly on each one. But I want to show you these seven things that faith is. First of all, faith is believing God. Faith is believing God. He says in verse 16, it says, Abraham is the father of us all. He's speaking of all who believe on Christ. And he says in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now let's read it without the parentheses. Abraham's the father of us all, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now the God that true faith believes is the God who is the Father of all His people. That's who true faith believes. The God who is the Father of all His people. If you read the margin, it says there, like Him whom He believed. Abraham is the father of us all, like God whom He believed. And God is truly the Father of all His people. God's the everlasting Father of everyone who ends up believing on Christ. And the reason we end up believing on Christ is because God chose us to believe on Christ. He elected us to be saved. That's why we end up believing on Christ. Every true believer's faith began with election. That's where it began, with God choosing us. Ephesians 1:3 speaks of all believers when it says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing, according as He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. It was in heavenly places. And it says that we were holy and without blame before Him in love in Christ. And He predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. That means in time, at His appointed time, every one of His elect shall be given faith to believe on Christ. And it was all according to the good pleasure of His will. It is to the praise of the glory of His grace. And this is how we're made accepted in Christ, the Beloved. So everybody that has true faith, it began by God choosing them. That's how it began. And true faith believes this. True faith believes the God who quickens the dead. We believe the God who quickens the dead. He says every true believer is quickened. He says there, the God who quickeneth the dead. That means to give life, to make alive, to create anew. We all come into the world dead in sin. And we can't do anything. We have no ability to believe, and we don't want to believe. Our hearts, by nature, enmity against God. You ever notice when there's a group of people, and you got a group there that's not believers, and everybody's just carrying on a conversation, everybody's talking, and then you start talking about the gospel, and all of a sudden everything gets silent. And a lot of times, the people that don't believe God end up either leaving or changing the subject. That's enmity in our heart. Men don't want to talk about God. Don't want to talk about it. But the true and living God is able to quicken the dead. He's able to quicken us and give us life. It's called the exceeding greatness of His power. Because the same exceeding greatness that it took to raise Christ from the dead, it takes to give a sinner life. That's what he said at the end of Ephesians 2. The exceeding greatness of God, which He's shown to us, is that same exceeding greatness wherewith He raised Christ from the dead. That's power. It takes power to quicken a dead sinner. You and I don't have that power. And then look here. Now this is what I want to focus on a little bit right here. True faith believes God who calls things to exist that are not. Look at this, Romans 4:16. He said there, verse 17. It says at the end that He calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, this can be misleading. And I want you to understand what this is not saying. It's not saying God is pretending. It's not saying God's calling us one thing when really we're another thing. That's not what it's saying. Scripture never says concerning what Christ has done for us, it never says as though. Never. We're crucified in Christ. I am crucified in Christ. It's not as though I am. I was in Christ and all His people were in Christ. And it's not as though our old man of sin was destroyed. It was destroyed. It's not as though that we're righteous before God. It's not as though we are. We are righteous before God. Did Christ really die? Then we really died. Did Christ really rise? We really arose. See, this thing is, that's not what it's saying here. This is for our comfort. This is to comfort us, to show us that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That's what we're seeing here. Now, we're creatures of time. So everything that we think about has a beginning and an end. But with God, it's just the eternal now. That's all. And so when He foreknew His people and He predestinated His people, according to Romans 8:30, at that same time, right then, them He also called. And whom He called, He justified. And whom He justified, He glorified. It was done. It was finished in Christ. It was all done before Him in Christ, even though we weren't called yet in time. And now understand, that doesn't mean that God does not fulfill His purpose in time or that it's unnecessary for Him to fulfill His purpose in time. What it means is before God it's done and there's no remote possibility He will not do it in time. There's no possibility that He will not do what He purposed from eternity. You see, when you're all powerful and you rule all things, you don't have to pretend anything. God told Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations. And it was before God whom Abraham believed. And when He told him that, Abraham didn't have a child. Not even one. And it'd be years and years and years before he'd have a child. But God said, I have made you a father of many nations. When God called Abraham a father of many nations, before God, he was a father of many nations. And the reason is all Abraham's seed was in Abraham. Just like when He chose us in Christ, all Christ's seed was in Him. All His people were in Him. And so whatever Christ was in eternity, that's what His people were in Him. Before God. I'm talking about before God. There wasn't a possibility that God would not quicken Sarah's womb and produce a child from nothing. And there's no possibility that God will not in time quicken every chosen, redeemed sinner and create life in us out of nothing. When it says here that He calls those that are not, it's talking about us. He calls you and me who are nothing to bring to nothing things that are. And just like He created the world out of nothing, He creates His people out of nothing. I'm saying out of nothing in us. And I'll tell you something else that we need to grasp, and this is just impossible to really, don't ever think, well, I have to really understand that, figure it out before I can believe it. If you do that, you won't believe anything. God's just so much bigger than we are. But listen to this. When He quickened Christ and raised Him from the dead, we were raised from the dead And we sat down in Christ at God's right hand before God. Before God. That's done. Listen to this. He said in Ephesians 2:1, if you want to look at this, he said, "You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin." Now that speaks about our experience of it, our deadness. We were dead sinners. But now look down at verse 5. "Even when we were dead in sins, has God quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." That's why Paul said, your life is hid with Christ in God. You are seated at God's right hand. Before God, that's how it is. And so everything he did in eternity, and he said the works were finished from the foundation of the world, and everything that he purposed in Christ in eternity, he purposed that so that in the ages of time, he might call us and show us his exceeding kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Let me, you try to get your mind, see if you can wrap your mind around this statement. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there's no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It hath been already of old time, which was before us." That's speaking eternal language. Everything God brings to pass in time, God already made it in eternity. It's already done before Him. So that's why it says in time Christ was slain on the cross. But Scripture says He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. When He struck hands with God and in a suretyship covenant with God, it was done. It was done. In the end, we're going to be perfectly holy before God, without any sin whatsoever. But Scripture says right now, as He is, so are we in this world. That's not an as though. That's how it is before God. Now here's the takeaway, brethren. These are reasons to believe God. Faith believes God. That's what faith is. God who's all powerful. God who calls things that are not to bring to nothing things that are. We don't look at things that are temporal. Faith doesn't look at things that are temporal. Faith looks at eternal things and believes eternal things because those are the real things. And everything we see and can touch and we think's real solid is just temporary. What's eternal is what's forever. All right, now back to our text. Here's the second thing. Faith is believing God's Word. Faith is believing God, and faith is believing God's Word. He says in verse 18, "Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Now people ask us all the time, and they'll say, "Now what's the proof that you have for believing in God?" The proof I have for believing in God is God's Word. That's the proof I have. That's all the proof I need is God's Word. This is God's Word. You know, the Big Bang is a theory of man that lies. This is God's Word who cannot lie. Do you see the depravity of man? He'll believe a theory from men who are motivated by money and need extra money for grants and things, so they got to come up with something. And won't believe God who cannot lie. Listen to this. Arthur Pink said this. "Imagine 40 persons of different nationalities possessing various degrees of musical culture visiting the organ of some great cathedral, and at long intervals of time, and without any collusion whatever, without talking to one another or being in present with one another, they strike 66 different notes, and which when combined yield the theme of the grandest oratory ever heard. Would it not show that behind these 40 different men there was one presiding mind, one great tone master? You take this Bible and you read this Bible, and there's all these different men over all these different periods of time, 40 different men that wrote these scriptures. Some educated, some uneducated. They didn't know each other. And yet you read these, and all 66 books have one message: Christ's victorious salvation of His people. And you begin to see how well everything just goes right together with everything else. And it makes the believer know God is behind this. God, the Holy Spirit, moved those men to write what they wrote. Faith believes God's Word. Here's the third thing. Faith is not considerate of carnal inabilities. Look here in verse 19. It says, "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." Now God promised Abraham that He was going to use Abraham to produce a child in Sarah. And God waited till they were 100 years old. Sarah never had a child. Her womb was dead. Now, natural reason, natural sense, medicine will tell you that's an impossibility. This woman couldn't have a child. There's no way she could have a child. But it says here, being not weak in faith. Weakness of faith. You know where it comes from? You know where weakness of faith comes from? It comes from looking at things, carnal things, that are make it unable or have inability. That's where weakness of faith comes from, looking at temporal things with natural sight. But Abraham considered not his own body, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, and therefore against hope, against all these things that were contrary to his hope, he had hope because he believed God's word. He didn't look at those things. You ever notice when God, all through the scripture, when God promises a blessing and declares what he's going to bring to pass, he always makes it so that you know God alone did it. He makes the way impossible for man. He said Joseph was going to reign over all his brethren. So he makes sure Joseph sold into slavery and then in prison down in Egypt. And then God raises him to power so that he reigned over not only his brethren but all of Egypt. God declared he's going to deliver Israel and he's going to use Moses to do it. So God saw to it that when Moses was born as a helpless infant, he was thrown in the river. And then God used Pharaoh's own servant to confine him and used Pharaoh's own riches to raise him up and give him the best education possible. And he even used Moses' own mother to nurse him and raise him and teach him. And then God used Moses and delivered Israel and destroy Pharaoh. He always makes you know he did it. You didn't have a thing to do with it. I've told y'all this, I think, before. Some of our new brethren may not have heard it, but when we were in Franklin, Tennessee, Brother Marvin Stocker was pastor. Sometimes we would have so many people in attendance that the ladies that were keeping the nursery would have to go out in the yard and keep the ladies because we'd have to use the nursery. And we'd have a bunch of people in attendance. And while we had all that crowd, we could not agree to buy a building. We could not do it. We had bought a building, but as Brother Don used to call it was an albatross. But we couldn't agree to build a nice building. And God whittled that work down. He just kept whittling it down and whittling it down till there was just a handful of families. And we found a building and we bought it and never missed a building. God's going to make it known and He's doing it. He's doing it. And faith doesn't believe when evidence is brought forth. That's not faith. If you got evidence you can see that God's going to do something so that now I trust Him. Well, you don't really trust Him. You know? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So fourthly, let's look at this. Faith is giving God all the glory. He says in verse 20, He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, that's a description of Abraham when he was in Christ, and that's how God saw him. But if we look at Abraham, go back to the Old Testament. I love this, how in the Old Testament, a picture of being under, in our sin, under the law, you see all the brethren's faults and everything that they did. You go to the New Testament, picture of being under grace, being in Christ, God doesn't record them. He just says they were perfect. Because that's how God sees us in Christ. You go to the Old Testament, you see how we really are. And if you go to Abraham, you see what all he really did, you'll understand that this strong faith Abraham had came from God. Abraham didn't just have it. Abraham was an idolater in a foreign land, in a land of heathens. And he would have stayed there if God hadn't come to him and given him faith and called him out. And then there came a time when Sarah and Abraham, they were in such unbelief that Sarah said, I think what God means is you need to take my handmaid and have a child through her because I can't have a child. And Abraham did that. And if they would have stayed in that unbelief if God hadn't have come and turned them from it and said, this is not the child. The child I'm going to create is going to be of me. And it's according to my promise. And he gave them faith and strengthened their faith. So if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have faith. And we wouldn't persevere in faith. So when we believe God, whether we have weak faith or strong faith, we're giving the glory to God. We're giving the glory to God and giving Him all the glory. This is the difference between true religion and false religion. If there's anything in your religion that you did to save you or that you contributed to save you, that's one area where you're glorying in yourself and you're not giving the glory to God. And if we believe that men are going to stop God from fulfilling His purpose, then we're glorifying men. That's what we do when we're in unbelief and we're fretful and worrying and worrying about tomorrow and what's going to come to pass. We're glorifying man. That's what we're doing. But when you believe God, you glorify God. We glorify whatever we believe in, whatever we're trusting in. And so, you know this, and I know this. It's a simple thing. When your children trust you, trust the word you've told them, they honor you. And when my children do that, I honor them. Because, you know why? Because Christ honored faith repeatedly in the Scriptures. He would commend believers for their faith. You know why He did that? Because faith gives Him all the glory. Faith commends Him. That's why He did that. So the Scriptures tell us, don't you sitting here, I know you're surrounded by friends that don't believe and you're afraid what they're going to think if you believe on the Lord and profess Christ and all these different things. Do not be concerned about the rest of your friends and the rest of your family and the rest of mankind. Do not let that come into play. Listen to what God says. In Isaiah 8:12, He says, say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Here's what He said. But sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself. See Him high and lifted up. Let Him be your fear and let Him be your dread. And He shall be for a sanctuary. He'll protect you. You'll be safe in Him. So see, we're either going to fear man or we're going to fear God. We're either glorifying man or we're glorifying God. And faith glorifies God. gives Him all the glory. We give Him glory for choosing us, redeeming us, regenerating us, preserving us. Everything is all of Him. And then fifthly, faith is being fully persuaded that God is able to do what He promised. Look here in verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Are you persuaded? Are you persuaded? I'm with Paul. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. I'm persuaded of that. I'm proof of that. If I can't separate me from the love of God in Christ, ain't nothing going to be able to do it. I can guarantee you that. And all the suffering that Paul endured for the sake of Christ because he preached the gospel, Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed against that day to Him. You know why all those believers in the old covenant, you know why they all persevered to the end in faith? Scripture says they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. That is, by faith and being persuaded of them. They were persuaded that what God promised, He could bring to pass. He was able to bring it to pass. And so they embraced those promises and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. What are we persuaded of? We're persuaded God is able to fulfill every promise He's made in His Word. That He can do everything He said. Remember when Sarah laughed? The messenger came and said, at this certain time, I'm coming again and Sarah's going to have a child. And Sarah was in her tent and heard that and she laughed. And the messenger said, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? He said, at this appointed hour, I will come again and you will have a child. And I guarantee you this, nothing's too hard for the Lord. At the appointed hour, God will work everything in providence to bring His child under the sound of the gospel. And He will create life in a dead center. Just like He did in Sarah's womb. Abraham, this is what's amazing to me. Abraham even went and offered up Isaac on an altar and drew back his knife and was fixing to slay that boy because God told him to. And before God, God saw his heart. And before God, he really did slay Isaac. Why did he do that? This was the boy, the one child he had, through whom God said, Christ is coming. And all your people are going to be saved. Why in the world would he go and kill that boy? Accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead. He was persuaded God was able. And the scripture says, and from the dead, God received Isaac in a type, in a picture, because he saw Abraham's heart, and Abraham really killed that boy. Christ summed it up. He said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I don't care what it is about salvation. Look at a man, with men, it's impossible for you to choose God. But God chose His people. And He makes His people choose Him. It's impossible to give ourselves life, but God gives His people life. It's impossible for us to fulfill the law and establish it in perfect righteousness, but Christ came and did it for His people. It's impossible for us to persevere in faith, but God preserves His people. It's impossible for you and I for our spirit to rise and go into God's presence when we die of us. And it's impossible for us to raise our bodies and give ourselves a glorified body. But God does that as soon as you take your last breath. A to Z, everything about salvation, with men it's impossible. But with God it's possible. He does it all. Here's the sixth thing. Faith is being made the righteousness of God. It says in verse 22, and therefore, Because Abraham believed God, it was imputed to him for righteousness. God imputed the righteousness of Christ to him. Now hear what I say. God never imputes anything except what a man has been made. That's all he imputes. He imputes to you what you have been made. In Adam, all sin and death entered in. We all have sinned in Adam. And that's why God imputed sin to us. But we were in Christ. His elect were in Christ. And Christ made His people the righteousness of God. He did it. We don't do it through faith. It's not faith that makes Him His righteousness to be our righteousness. No, He made His people righteous by His Word. When He cried, "It's finished," it was done. And it's for that reason that God brings us to faith in Christ and imputes the righteousness of Christ to us. Faith is the river through which we experience that righteousness. When Christ said it's finished and He entered into glory, we were made righteous before the court of God's holy law. But faith is that conduit through which God makes us to experience that we are made righteous in Christ in the court of our conscience. So we can understand we're righteous. It's finished and believe. You see what I'm saying? It's a finished work. Now look at verse 23. It was not written for His sake alone that it was imputed to Him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now listen to me, you that don't believe. You know what He's telling you? He's saying, if you believe on Christ, right here where you sit, this righteousness is yours. God will make you to know there is no more condemnation for you. You don't have to worry about dying and coming into God's presence and being cast into hell. There's no condemnation. God will not charge His people with sin because Christ answered for all our sins. Just believe on God. Believe Christ, and He imputes this righteousness to you. I got one more thing. Seventh thing. Faith is, one day, being with Christ for all eternity. That's what faith is. Then we won't have faith. We won't need it then. All right, let's stand together. Father, we thank You for this Word. We thank You that You've given us faith to behold these things are true and to believe You and to trust Christ alone. Lord, we pray You continue to keep us and strengthen our faith and glorify Yourself thereby. We pray for those that don't know You, Lord, that You'd call them and give them this faith and bring them to rest with us in Christ. We thank You, Lord, for all Your blessings, for everything You've given us. And we trust You'll continue to provide all for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.